to the nearest.
I'll take fries with that and a shake. Sorry, guys. Fooled you, didn't I? I didn't have it on, which proves I don't need it. We're glad you're here today, and if you have a chance, my father is here with us today, and just give him a hug when you see him. Let me see the resemblance. So, anyway, we are glad that you're here, and if you are visiting with us today, we've got the story is the book that we've been going through. It's the chronological Bible with selected scriptures. We're in chapter 23 today, and we're going to be looking at, I think, a different aspect of Jesus' life that's not talked about a whole lot, and that is his temptation. And I want to talk today about how do we overcome temptation in our lives, because every person in here today, we all, as followers of Jesus, but we all have our sinful nature, we struggle. And each one of us has temptations that we deal with. Maybe, you know, what one person's dealing with is not what you deal with. So today, as we begin, let's ask God to bless our time together. I was handed this before I got up here. Louise Maynard, as you know, is having chemotherapy for cancer, and we want to continue to lift her up. She's just had her fourth treatment this past Thursday, and it says she's been having a very difficult time. And they're not here this morning, but I thought it'd be nice if we lifted them up in prayer. She's halfway through her treatment, so let's pray together as we begin, and just ask God to bless our time together. Father, we want to say how much we love you and how, man, we are so thankful, Lord, for Jesus. It's because of him we can pray. It's because of him that we can live. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that indwells our hearts, your presence within us, Lord. It's more than we can imagine in our minds. We thank you so much for this time together today. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will teach us and teach us, Lord, how to overcome temptation. We ask that you guide us and lead us today, Lord, in that endeavor and be glorified in the process. And we want to lift up Louise Maynard to you, Lord. We just want to ask that you continue to strengthen her and walk with her during this very difficult time. These treatments, I know, are very, very difficult, and I just ask that you will encourage her spirit right now. We ask, Father, that you will comfort her, also be with Bruce as well, as I know it's difficult for him to deal with this as well. And we just pray that you'll bless this family, Father. We thank you for our time together, Lord. In Jesus' name. Going to ask some questions as we talk about temptation. And if you have your outline, that yellow piece of paper there, every time you see a underlined yellow word, you're going to want to write that word in there. So when we talk about temptation, we have to think about things that are involved in that. So the first question we ask is, well, what is temptation? Well, temptation is simply the desire to do wrong. You know, why is it we see a sign, do not push, and what's the first thing that we think about? Let's push it. It's temptation. It's temptation. How do people normally deal with temptation? Well, there's several ways. Some people just say, well, I'm just going to give in to it. You know, it doesn't, I'm human, and what it, you know, I'm just going to just give in to every temptation I have. Not a good way to deal with your life. Other ways, lots of people say, oh, I'm just going to fight it in my own strength. You know, and this is where we get into the willpower. You know, if I could just stop what I can do it myself. And what happens with people that live like this? They eventually fall into temptation, right? The third option, I think, is the best one, and that is to learn, that's the key word there, to learn how to overcome through God's power. And we can choose to do this, and I want to encourage you today to walk out of here having some hope, having some peace that you know, whatever temptations that you struggle with, God can help you and empower you to overcome them. I was doing a recent Discipleship Journal, a Christian publication. It's a wonderful magazine, by the way, if you've never seen it. They did a recent survey, and they said, what is the number one temptation among Christians? What would you think they was the number one temptation, Ronnie?
Overeating.
Actually, gluttony was on there. What do you suppose was number one, Russ?
Cheating on your taxes.
Well, lying is down there. Who said it over here? Do what? No, what is the greatest temptation that Christians face? What is the greatest temptation? What would you think in our day and age? What do people put more stock in? Materialism. Number one temptation. What's second? Pride. I can do it myself. I don't need God. Self-centeredness is third. Laziness is fourth. That's interesting. And there's a tie for fifth, anger and bitterness and sexual lust. All involve temptation, that they were saying, among Christians in America. It's interesting that 81% said temptations are stronger when I neglect time with God. So that should tell you something, the importance of spending daily time with God. How it gives you power and strength to overcome areas of your life. Is temptation a sin? Is it a sin? No. Thank you. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 6 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in what? Look at your neighbor and say, every way. Just as we are, every way. Yet he did not sin. So we can therefore conclude that temptation is not a sin in and of itself. It's only when I give into the temptation that it becomes a sin. And I love this. Let us then, because Jesus was tempted in all ways, yet he did not sin, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus understands our struggles with temptation, probably better than anybody. So when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. In other words, don't play the blame game with God. It's been going on since the time of Adam and Eve. Remember Adam? Adam, who did he blame? Eve. Who did Eve blame? The snake. And the snake didn't have a what to stand on. Right? So we love to blame everybody. It's not my fault. It's everybody else's fault. We even bring God into it. But God is saying, no. God doesn't tempt anyone. It's interesting that the same word for tempt and test, very same word in Greek. So the question we need to ask ourselves is this. What is the difference between temptation and the testing of one's faith? What is the difference? Well, it's quite simple. Temptation is always from Satan. He desires to destroy us. It's all about hurting us. It's never good. The testing of one's faith, God is always concerned about our growth and helping us grow in our faith. It is for our good. And what is interesting is that God can use those bad circumstances. He can use those good circumstances to help us to grow and to grow in our character, most importantly. What Satan means for bad, God can use for good, if we allow him. Amen? So when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But listen, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Notice the imagery of pregnancy and the idea of how it starts, where it begins. Real simply, temptation begins within us, okay? The devil didn't make me do it. Sorry, Flip Wilson. The devil did not make me do it. I have a sinful nature inside me that wants to do what I want to do. Specifically, temptation will always begin in the mind. with an unfulfilled desire. So let's look at temptation through the eyes of a dog.
So, yeah. So, you know, I went to the fridge and I opened up the meat drawer. You know what the meat drawer is, right?
Yeah. What was in there?
Well, I'll tell you what was in there. You know that bacon that's like maple? It's got maple flavor.
The maple kind, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah?
I took that out, and I thought...
Yeah?
I know who would like that. Me! So I ate it.
Oh! No. You're kidding me.
Nope. Not kidding. You know, I also noticed there was some beef in there. Yeah, you know, steak... You know, juicy. Well, I ate that, too. But I went back to the fridge just a few minutes ago. And I put something together really special. You're going to love this one. I took some chicken.
Yeah.
I put some cheese on it. And I covered it with...
Covered it with what?
I covered it with cat treats.
Yeah.
Then guess what?
What?
I gave it to the cat.
$142 million people have seen that video on YouTube. Do you know why it's so important? It is so funny. Amen? Dogs are human. I mean, I just love that video. Can't get enough of it. But doesn't it teach an important truth? Temptation does begin in the mind. And yes, as James tells us, we are dragged away and enticed by our sinful nature within us. And the trick is to learn how to control that sinful nature, asking God to empower us. So we can't get free from our sin. We have to have God's strength. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit within us. So temptation begins in us. And temptation is kind of like the idea. I want you to get the idea of it's like fishing, you know? When you go fishing, you have to have what? The right bait. You know, you certain fish like certain things, so you have to use the right thing. And often, I think Satan likes to tempt us, but he knows the right kind of bait to use with each of us. Now, what are some desires that we have? What are these unfulfilled desires that we have? Well, we have physical desires. We have sexual desires, hunger and thirst, and for pleasure and security. And we have emotional desires to be loved, to be accepted, to feel valued, to feel appreciated. We have spiritual desires. We have this inner thing in us that we want purpose and meaning in our lives. We want to be somebody. We want to make a difference in things. Okay? Now, aren't these evil in and of themselves? No. The problem is when we seek to get those desires met apart from God. That's when we have problems. We say, Lord, I'm going to take care of it myself. We say, you know, I can find purpose and meaning in my life. I think I can find it through money or through stuff or through materialism. And we think that is the answer. By the way, guys, there's no monitor here. So just to let you know. So what can we learn from Jesus regarding temptation? It's interesting. Jesus is baptized in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. We learn that beautiful account. Why was Jesus baptized? Jesus was baptized to identify himself with us. Son of God now becomes Son of Man. And so right after his baptism, temptation begins. And may I tell you today, that is exactly the same for each of us. Right out of the baptistry, we struggle with temptation. Jerome said, baptism does not drown the devil. Very true statement. Very true statement. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now notice the issue there of George Barna does some research and has found that 58% of professing Christians do not believe Satan is a real being, but is a symbol of evil. May I suggest that Satan has blinded those Christians? Because Satan is very real. He's a real being. He's an angelic being. He's a fallen angel. And I think a lot of times we need to realize This is real, what we're dealing with. Even though we can't see it, it's a real thing. Why does Jesus have to be tempted? For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. That's why we need to have somebody that understands what we're going through. Amen? It's hard to serve a Savior that doesn't understand what I'm dealing with. Where Adam and Eve failed and Israel failed, will the son of Adam, you know, the second Adam, Paul likes to call him that in Romans 5, will he fail? And what would happen if Jesus failed? What if he gave in to his temptation? Do you realize what would have happened? We would have no hope. He sinned. He couldn't be our Savior. Because to be our Savior, he had to be the perfect Lamb of God. So this is serious stuff here. This isn't, you know, just running through the tiptoe through the tulips. This is serious stuff about what we're dealing with here. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. 40 days is the sign of preparation, always in the Bible. 40 days, 40 years, Israel were in the desert. It's about preparation. Now, it's interesting that he's not tempted after the 40 days. I used to think that, you know, after he'd fasted for 40 days. Now he's hungry, and now the temptation starts. But the text makes it clear. The word tempted there is in the continuous tense. He was continually tempted those 40 days. Continually tempted. When did Satan tempt Jesus? At his moment of weakness. But it was also at his moment of victory. His victory. He was baptized. What happened when he was baptized? When he was baptized, a voice came from the heaven, the Father saying, "This is my what? This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." It was a triumphant moment. It was a moment of victory. And I want to suggest to you that for each of us in this room, think about your life. When has those temptations come? It often comes when we have hit a spiritual peak. And everything's going great. We've just had victory over something. And that is normally when temptation strikes. Not only just when we're weak, but when we are victorious. So look at this. Let's look at this, these temptations. There's three temptations. Let's look at each of them. And this is how we can understand this first temptation. I can do it myself. I don't need God. Which is basically the essence of pride. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God." Now, Satan knew who he was. Actually, the text really says, "Since you are the Son of God." He knew who he was. "Since you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Could Jesus have done that? Could he have taken stones and made them into bread? Yes. But notice how Jesus responds. "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every" what? "Word that comes from the mouth of God." You see that what the sin is here? It's very subtle. To not depend on the Father. Turn these stones into bread. You don't have to depend on your Father. Use the power for your own means. You can do it. "Since you are the Son of God." You can hear the temptation there. It's the same exact temptation that Adam and Eve fell into. Remember when they're in their garden, Satan whispers to them, "By the way, you can become your own God. You can do what you want." The essence of sin is exactly that. Do your own thing. Doesn't matter what you believe. Don't depend on God for anything. And that is such a subtle temptation for each of us. Sometimes we don't even realize that we're living this way. Instead of trusting and waiting on God, we're tempted to satisfy our own personal needs. "Well, I'll take care of it myself, Lord." And for a lot of us, that physical desire, our sexual desires. "Don't wait till marriage," the devil tempts us. Don't wait until you're committed to someone for life in a covenant relationship. Meet that need yourself. We fall into it. The emotional need to be loved and to be accepted. And what is tragic is, and why a lot of marriages are failing today, is because we are looking for unfailing love in a human being to meet all of our needs. We got this Hollywood mentality, and we think everything's going to turn out nice in the end. You know, but why riding off into the sunset? And what we fail to understand, and what Hollywood has messed us up in our thinking, that life is full of trials and struggles and problems and marriages that fail and health that fails. And we somehow believe, you know, I got to meet this need by putting my entire trust in another human being. We cannot meet that need. I cannot meet my wife's need. She cannot meet all of my needs. God can meet all of my needs and your needs as well. That need for unfailing love. The minute you start putting your trust in another human being for unfailing love, you are setting yourself up for disaster. Because what's going to happen when that person leaves? Or they die? Let God meet that need. And of course, the spiritual desire for purpose and meaning in our lives, we look to the world, we look to stuff, we look to money, we look to our jobs to give us fulfillment. And it's such a temptation when God says, let me be your all in all. Let me meet that need for purpose and meaning in your life. So how do we fight Satan? How did Jesus fight Satan? It's interesting, he uses all quotes from the book of Deuteronomy. Same thing happens in Deuteronomy that happens to us. We are tempted, just like Israel was, in the deserts of life. And Jesus says, people don't live on bread alone. It's about what God says. About God. Okay, Satan's not going to give up, y'all. He's going to rebait the hook. He's not going to say, well, gee, I just can't get them in that first temptation. Let's, forget it. He's going to go after you again. And here's the second one. Instead of trusting God with my life, I seek to control it. Huh? Let's read together. The devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. By the way, that Josephus says that was 450 feet. If you are the Son of God, or since you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written. Ah, there's scripture. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put your Lord, your God, to the test. Now, for a lot of us, and myself included, I've struggled with this second temptation. What would have happened if Jesus had jumped off the temple? People would have believed him. It was a shortcut, basically. Don't depend on God. You can do it yourself. Oh, and here's the scripture to prove it. You can test God. He says in his word, right? He says he'll protect you if you jump. Very subtle temptation. How do we test God? Well, we test God by saying, you know, if you're really God, make that light bulb explode. If you're really God, get me a job tomorrow. If you're really God, why don't you heal me? And we test him. And I've seen it over and over again in the emergency room. We've talked about this a lot this year. But it happens in hospitals all the time. People gather when somebody is sick and they pray. And a lot of people say, oh, I just know God is going to heal that person. And that person dies. And for a lot of people, that is where they give up on God. I'm not going to follow God anymore. I'm not going to believe in him anymore. Because he let me down. He didn't come through for me when I asked him to. That is doing the very same thing, testing God. Prayer, as we have said, and I know I've said this over and over again, maybe this is a theme God wants us to understand this year. Maybe the Spirit is trying to teach us something. But prayer is not manipulation. To get God to do what I want him to do, it is entrusting the person to him. It is entrusting the circumstance or the problem to him. Jesus said, not my will, but Not my will, but yours be done. He played by his own rules. Trusted the Father with the future. You know, Jesus didn't control his destiny. He wasn't a control freak. It would happen in God's good timing. And the most difficult thing we can do as human beings is to take the car keys and say, God, you drive my life. I surrender. And I'm convinced for a lot of us that is why we have so many problems in our lives and we have so much lack of peace. It's because we are not allowing God to drive. And we struggle with surrender. I want to do it myself. And that's the temptation that Jesus faced. I'll take care of it myself. I'll just jump off and they'll believe in me. By asking Jesus to test God, Satan is basically saying, you know, aren't you the Son of God? Why don't you prove yourself? Prove yourself in front of, jump off that temple. Prove yourself. And I want to tell you that is one of the most subtle temptations you and I deal with. I've spent the majority of my life trying to prove myself to people. And just in the last 2 or 3 years, I have come to realize I don't have to prove anything. You know what I'm talking about. You go into your workplace, you want everybody to be impressed that you can do a good job. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having a desire to do well. But when your worth and everything is based on, you know, how I'm proving my worth, you know, I can prove that I'm worthy, you're getting into dangerous territory. Because the greatest problem that we have in our world today is a lot of us, we want to do anything to prove ourselves. You know, at school, we'll cheat, we'll lie on tests, we will tell people stories, we will steal, we will disrespect ourselves because we want to be respected. Instead of doing it God's way and saying, you know, a godly life will bring respect from people. People honor and respect your faith, whether you realize it or not, they do. The most liberating moment in your life is when you realize, I have nothing to prove anymore. Because God loves me and accepts me the way I am, man, that is good enough for me. And I'm going to stop worrying about what the world thinks. I'm going to stop worrying about my community thinks. I'm going to stop worrying about what the guys at the workplace are saying about me. Because God accepts me. He accepts me at school. He accepts me in my workplace. I got nothing to prove anymore. Great moment in your life. Third temptation, I can fulfill my life with created things. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you. Now, wait a minute. Why does he doesn't have that right, does he? Well, you know, Adam and Eve were the ones in charge of this world. God gave it to them. But when they sinned, they gave the authority and right to Satan. So now he runs things. Things aren't going very well, if you've noticed. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I want to talk real briefly about this idea of worship. Satan's temptation to Jesus was basically, take the easy way out. You know, bypass the cross. Just worship me. You can have it all. And that is the temptation that we face. It's so tempting to give in to everything. But the bottom line of idolatry, the bottom line of materialism, it's what you worship. It's what you worship. The greatest temptation for each of us is idolatry. Worshiping created things, you know, can give my life meaning and purpose. And it's a lie. They can't give your life meaning and purpose. And for a lot of us, we struggle, you know, am I going to read the Bible or am I going to spend time on the internet? We want to be entertained. It's the entertainment and the pull to do that is so strong in this culture. I struggle with it. Don't you? We all struggle in this area. But God says, let me give your life meaning and purpose. Look at all the things that idolatry is involved in our country. all those things encompass things that we worship. And I find it amazing that you can get a bunch of guys in a football stadium and they go bonkers for their team. You get them praising the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Not willing to shout, give God glory and praise in our lives. And when we fail, you know, is God surprised? Does God say, man, I didn't know Chris was going to do that. Wow. Of course he knows. He saw my failure. He saw it coming. He saw your failure. And you know what? We can go to him and say, Lord, I've messed up. I'm so sorry. We can go to him with our failures. I shared this story a couple weeks ago in our Wednesday night class. It's a great story as we begin to close today. Roy Riegels was a football player for the USC and University of Southern California, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about. They were playing Georgia Tech in the Rose Bowl. It was the end of the second half, and for some reason, the ball was snapped and it was fumbled. Riegels picks it up, but he got pushed and he got disoriented in the process, and he started running the wrong way. And he got to his teammate was chasing him. You're going the wrong way! Did he listen? No. And he tackled him at the 2-yard line. And Roy, when he realized what he had done, he felt like such an idiot. And the half ended, they go into the locker room for the halftime, and he's just got his head hung low, and the coach gives him a pep talk. Okay, boys, we're going to go out there, and we're going to... And all the guys have gone out there except for Roy. And he's sitting there with his hand in his head in his hands. And he's, Coach, I can't go out in front of those people. I was so foolish. I messed up. I made the team look bad. I made you look bad. His coach wisely said, Riegels, get your butt out there. The game is only half over. It's only half over. And you know what they said? In that second half, Riegels played the best game of his life. He played his heart out. Sure, he had a failure, but he got up, went into the third and fourth quarters, and did his best. That is exactly what God asks us to do. When you fall down, get up. Let me help you. So what can we do to overcome temptation? Yeah. Yeah. Are you listening? Say, yeah. All right. Let's run through these very quickly. We cannot keep the birds from flying over us, but we can keep them from making a nest in our hair. Wise words from Martin Luther. Let's run through these very quickly. How to overcome temptation? Prepare before it strikes. Addiction teaches us there's four things that really tempt us, and they got the word halt. Hunger, anger, loneliness, and tiredness. All those things can contribute to a temptation. We need to prepare before it strikes. And if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. It's when we get arrogant and cocky that temptation likes to come. Secondly, avoid people and places and situations that will tempt you. If you've got a problem with alcohol, don't hang around people that are drinking alcohol. If you've got a problem with pornography, put away the computer. Take it out of your house. Do whatever it takes. If you've got a problem with a certain person that tempts you to do wrong things, avoid that person. Avoid that place. You know, wise advice is don't be in the same room with someone of the opposite sex by yourself. Not a good thing to do. Not wise. Thirdly, remove the sources of temptation. You know, if you've got a problem with a certain issue in your life, Jesus reminds us to cut off the hand. He's exaggerating. You know, deal with it. All right? Remove it from your life, whatever that temptation is. If temptation begins in the mind, what am I feeding my mind? Philippians 4, Paul says to think on things that are pure and holy and righteous and good. What are we feeding our minds? I like how the old Indian proverb that says, inside of us there are a battle between two wolves. There's a battle between a good wolf and a bad wolf. Bad wolf represents our sinful nature, those things that we struggle with and sin. The good wolf represents the things that we desire, love and peace and joy. The person asks, which wolf wins? And it's the one that we feed the most. And my question to you today is, which wolf are you feeding? Because if you struggle with a particular sin in your life and it keeps coming up and not coming up and over and over and over again, and you start asking yourself, which wolf am I feeding? Because it's getting fed somewhere. Fifth, we need to have accountability. We need to have somebody that we can talk to. Temptation can be overcome in a lot of ways by just saying, hey man, would you pray with me? I'm really struggling with a particular problem in my life. Prayer is another way we can overcome temptation. Remember the prayer in the Lord's Prayer, lead me not into temptation. And we all go, well, what's that talking about? It doesn't make any sense. It means if the opportunity to sin presents itself today, Lord, help me, strengthen me not to give in. That's what that means. And finally, don't believe the lies where somebody says, you know, no one understands me. No one understands what I'm dealing with. Temptation's too strong. I give up. I can't give into it. Let me share this one verse with you and then we'll finish. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Notice that all the temptations that we deal with in life are what everybody else is struggling with. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. In other words, God gives us an escape route. Always. If it's just turning off the computer, if it's just walking away, if it's just running away, He gives you a way out. And by the way, let me clear up something. This is one of the most misunderstood passages in Scripture. It does not mean God will not give us more than we can handle. The next person I hear saying that to me, I'm going to share with them that that's not what it's saying. He's talking about temptation here. He's not talking about the struggles of life. And actually, the exact opposite is true. God will allow more than we can handle so that we will depend on Him. But when there is an avenue of temptation and an opportunity of escape, God will give it to us. So let's pray as we close today and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you today for teaching us about temptation. We all, Father, are struggling in this area. And Lord God, we just ask that you help us, strengthen us, and empower us. If the opportunity to sin presents itself today, Lord, help us to not give in. Strengthen our faith, strengthen our resolve. Help us take one day at a time. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.